One of the people watching as President Bush rebuilds his cabinet is Paul Light. He's a professor at the Wagner School of Public Service at New York University. Light says the changes at the State and Justice Departments indicate how President Bush might govern.
It speaks to a consolidation of power. You're sending out key aides from the White House to take control of arguably two of the most important, if not the most important, departments to his second term agenda. And I think there'll be a tightening of control in terms of dissent. I think this president knows where he's going, and he doesn't want to hear much from his cabinet otherwise.
Tightening of control in terms of dissent. What do you mean?
He is convinced regarding what he wants to do, and I think that he wants his cabinet officers to fall in line behind his decisions and basically does not want to have a whole lot of back and forthing in traditional terms as you would find in cabinet government. I think second-term presidents tend to tighten their control and basically say, I know what I'm doing, I know where I'm going, and I want people at the cabinet departments who are going to follow my lead.
So this isn't all that unusual historically.
There is historically a fair amount of turnover between first and second terms. We tend to underestimate how much actually occurs. But what's different for the Bush administration is the agility with which they're executing their plans. They've been working on this, I'm sure, for months. I expect the reshuffling to be over by Thanksgiving and the administration to move on to policy issues as quickly as possible.
So if what we presume is true, what's a new cabinet secretary supposed to do? You show up at State or Justice, the policy already is what the policy already is, and it's presumed that you're there to follow orders, not to give them.
Well, you enforce, you police, you use the regulatory tools at your disposal. I think there'll be some changes in regulatory departments like labor, already agriculture, and so forth. You'll see a fair amount of work at the administrative level, some cleaning house. I think that the administration is going to remove a fair number of people at State, some of whom Colin Powell inherited and continued on from the Clinton administration. Most of these second-term cabinet people will be enforcers rather than idea generators. That's the tradition, and I think you'll see it heightened here.
Interesting that you mention house cleaning. There were professional employees of the State Department who had risen to high levels who were very grateful to Colin Powell because he refused to replace them with political appointees. He let them stay in place.
I think that this administration over time has taken advantage of every political appointment that it can. Early on, they gave Colin Powell his hand in terms of appointments in the State Department. I expect that a lot of those Foreign Service officers, career people who rose to positions of power under Powell, will be asked to return to their previous positions.
What should we watch for as we wait for the congressional hearings on these cabinet nominations?
I like to look at the sub-cabinet, actually. I want to see who's leaving along with the cabinet secretaries. You had the Deputy Secretary of State announce yesterday that he would be leaving along with Powell. You'll see assistant secretaries and so forth down the line. The degree of change really occurs at the sub-cabinet level. The question will be, how political will those sub-cabinet appointees be? And does the president have, as part of his second-term agenda, an administrative presidency where you really do use the less visible levers of power to change policy by forestalling regulation or remaking regulation? And I think we're going to see a fair amount of that.
We've been talking to Paul Light. He's a former congressional staff member, and he's now a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution and has run their project on presidential appointees. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.